Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
She's coming.
Okay, so, okay. Yeah. We are Parashat Be'alotcha. Now, our parasha is a little difficult. Why? Because on one side, we are talking about a few problems that Am Yisrael, like we see sometimes, don't behave exactly as they should. We have in our parasha what we call kivrot ha-ta'ava. They wanted meat, and God gave them meat, and they gave them, as you say, yotze lecha me'af. Sometimes you say too much, it goes out of your ears and on all the thing. So he gave them the meat till it also got out of their nose and ears and whatever, and they died. And it was a very severe punishment, and sometimes we look at it and we don't understand why. What was the problem? They asked for meat. Okay, it's not so nice, but, you know, put things in proportion. But the idea is very simple, because they asked for meat, but when we go back and Parashat HaMan, when they receive the man from up in heaven, this heavenly food, which is also, if you had this heavenly food, why do you want to eat meat? But they also got meat there. If you look very carefully, you see that they, in the morning they got man, ve'ba'erev slav. And what do they get now? The same thing. So we start to, what's going on here? If they already had meat, why do they want meat? The answer is not so nice. It's that it'avut ha'ava. The thing is, it's not the meat. It's the desire for flesh. It's the desire for the materialistic things of life. You know, this was a heavenly food, the man. It was too spiritual, especially for the Erev Rav, those who came with Am Yisrael. And they had a very bad influence on Am Yisrael. And they all shouting they want meat, but they didn't really want meat as we understand it. They want to be free of the mitzvahs. They want to be free of this high spiritual level. Imagine to yourself, you know, sometimes they said, what is Gehenom? What is Gehenom? Going to put you in fire and this and that. You know, for a Russia, a Gehenom could be put him in yeshiva. Yeah. You put him, he wouldn't know what to do there. For him, it's a disaster. And you know that's unfortunately really the thing. Think to yourself, somebody's all his being is in looking after another satisfaction, another desire, another thing. He wants the new car, he wants food, he wants this, he wants these beautiful restaurants, he wants only materialistic things.
But what do you even get when you think of the food? You hear people complaining all the time.
Exactly.
Exactly,
what I'm saying, because if your all being is in this world, in satisfaction for your own flesh and blood desires, that's the way you look. You know, you buy a new car. Okay, wow, amazing. A week. Half a year, another car. A year, I have to change the car, that's it. No excitement anymore. But that's all the things. Now, take somebody who all his being is in this world, and you give him a spiritual lesson, he wouldn't know what to do with it. He wouldn't know how to digest it. And that's what's happening here in the desert. They live Torah, and what did they do the whole day? Think about it. What did they do the whole day? Food from heaven. The clothes never wore out. They were growing on them. What did they do the whole day?
Played bridge.
Play bridge, exactly. What they did is they learned Torah. They were in a very high spiritual level. And those Erev Rav, they couldn't stand it. That was too much for them. You know, you say, like, people think it's so easy to sit in the yeshiva and learn the whole day.
It's not easy at all.
It's very, very few can really sit in the yeshiva and learn the whole day. The majority of people cannot do this. So they can have a shiur a few hours a day, a shiur here, a shiur there. And that's exactly the idea. So the idea here is not that they wanted meat, and that's why they got this severe punishment. Because they wanted to lower the level. They didn't want this high level they were. And this is very wrong. If you are in a high level, you don't let nobody take you down. So this is, I want to talk about the nice things in the parsha. So we move from this episode, and we start with Vayi Ba'alotcha. What is Ba'alotcha? Ba'alotcha is to raise up. And normally, if you want to talk about lighting the candles, you say light the candles. What is Ba'alotcha itanerot? Raise up. The Rav Nevenzahl says that the idea here is education. When you want to educate somebody, you don't just have him learn like a pirate, like a parrot. But you want him to have his own ability to learn and do new things. If you're teaching him 1, 2, 3, 4, and he's saying exactly what you are saying, what did you do? Nothing. When you leave him sometimes, he doesn't know what to do because you didn't give him the right tools. So the Torah says, "Va'yibaalotcha et hanerot." When you want to give the light of the Torah, the light of education, you give the tools that when you leave the guy, he can raise up by himself and build himself. Otherwise, it's a big problem. Lachen va'yibaalotcha et hanerot. You should make sure that if it's your children, if it's your pupils, if it's your friend, if you want to teach somebody something, you don't teach him like, okay, this is it. Okay, so he can say it by heart. So what? What did you do? Nothing. You have to give him the tools to do things by himself. In other words, when I leave him and he comes to a new situation, if he didn't know the situation before, but he's got the right tools, he can know what to do. And that's especially important when we educate our kids. Because we want our kids to come out of the world and know what to do. And not every time they find a new thing, father, mother, what should I do? I don't know what to do. That's not the way to educate. So this is the first lesson of the parsha. And when you go on in the parsha, we see other beautiful things. One of the most beautiful things is that there is Pesach, and there are a few people that cannot do the Pesach because they are impure. So normally, what do we do? Okay, well, I'm patur. I don't have to do it, so okay, I go home and finish. As you know, on the prayer we have Tachnun. You know what Tachnun is? How long does it take?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? No. Maybe on Monday, Monday and Thursday.
It's taking 7 minutes.
So it depends. but let's say, you know, Tachnun on the normal day, it's 2 minutes.
Two, three minutes.
That's what it is. And now there is some simcha. Oh, everybody is happy. They don't have to say Tachnun. It's 2 minutes. No, what's so terrible? But this is the way sometimes we feel. Now, look at those people. They couldn't bring the sacrifice of Pesach for a very right reason. They couldn't do it. That's it. So if you cannot do it, so you are patur. You don't have to do it. But they come to Moshe. No, we don't. Lama yigara chelkeinu. We don't. We want to be also part of this. We want also to bring Kurban Pesach. It's not fair. So they get a second chance. Which is called Pesach Sheni. Which is a beautiful way to look. Here, look at Am Yisrael. And that's not the only thing. One of the most beautiful things is that when we go on in the Parsha, by the way, we also see the greatest of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them something unbelievable. He says, oh, we want to do Pesach. Okay, 1 minute, I'll ask God and I'll give you an answer. What human being can do this? Talk to God whenever he wants to and get an answer. This is Moshe Rabbeinu.
We talk to God all the time.
Yeah. Yes, but you don't get
the answer.
Maybe you get the answer, but you cannot understand it. Yeah. But Moshe Rabbeinu is just approaching God, asking, so tell me God, what do I do with those people? He says, okay, no problem. Tell them there is Pesach Sheni. Okay, Pesach Sheni. What? Look at the level of this person. By the way, he also tries to make the sin of Am Yisrael and Kibbutz HaTa'ava to lower it. It's very interesting the way Moshe Rabbeinu acts in order to really protect Am Yisrael. He loves Am Yisrael so much that he is willing to give his life for Am Yisrael. Yes, it's unbelievable. I wish we had leaders today that are touching the ground of Moshe Rabbeinu. It would look much better. Anyway, then we see something unbelievable. Al pi Hashem yachanu v'al pi Hashem yisal. What does it mean? They had this cloud, and the cloud was going with them in the desert. And the minute the cloud stands, they used to park, put the tents on, and wait, or do whatever they want. And when the cloud raised up and started moving,
they had to move.
And the Torah is telling us unbelievable things here. Sometimes it was a few days. Sometimes it was a day. Sometimes they... And you have to imagine to yourself, you're talking about millions of people. Did you do a camp in your life once?
Yes.
To put a tent on, it takes time. Now imagine to yourself, you're not alone, you're with your kids and everybody, and you have to take the toys and the things and all, and you put and you organize everything. And then suddenly, you finished organizing, the cloud moves. You have to put everything back and move. Sometimes it doesn't move. Sometimes it doesn't move. And you're not tired. Okay, this place is boring. I don't want to stay here. The kids got nothing to do. They discovered everything in the area. And the cloud doesn't move. And you stay. And the Torah is saying again and again and again, Al pi Hashem yachanu, v'al pi Hashem yisal. Am Israel didn't care. The cloud moved, they moved with it. Even if it was a few hours. The cloud stayed, they stayed with it. And this is also another point of the greatness of Am Yisrael. To look at it and understand, Al pi Hashem yachanu, v'al pi Hashem yisal. But the big lesson for us, because we also have to understand, what is the lesson for us? What is Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisal? Sometimes people think that they do something. And the real truth is that everything is being done by the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And always you have to say, Be'ezrat Hashem, im yirtze Hashem. To understand and realize, you know, I think it was a year ago, I don't know if I told you the story, and my son was celebrating his anniversary with his young wife. It was, I think, the second year or something. So they went to the beach in Kesaria. There is also a kosher restaurant nearby. And they asked, want to see the sun goes down, sunset in Kesaria. It's very nice. Suddenly I get the phone. And I am on my way to the other side of the country for a wedding.
He lost his keys.
Yes.
You told us this story.
He lost his keys. Now, he lost his keys where? On the beach. You know, you try and find keys in the sand. You know, everybody helped him. And it was getting cold. It was getting cold. He couldn't go into the car because he lost the keys of the car. And the clothes are in the car. And he's wearing the very
t-shirt.
Yeah, t-shirt enough. And wow. And by the all the people on the beach, by the way, helped him to look for the keys, but couldn't find it. To cut the long story short, yeah. My other son, he was also somewhere, but I sent him because he was closer to take the key from the spare key and go to Kesaria, which is also not very it's a long drive. To go to Kesaria and give him the keys. The lesson here is, you plan and you think that everything is going to go according to your plan. But how do we say? Rabot machashavot belevish, v'atzat Hashem itakum. My father used to, my grandmother, my Oma used to say, Men denkt und Gott lenkt. Men think, but God is doing the doing it.
I heard that in German. Too.
You know what I'm saying?
In Yiddish also.
Yeah. And this is something.
Man macht und Gott lacht.
Yeah, the same thing. You have to understand that that's exactly the point. We have to, especially us that we believe, we have to put this belief as a part of our life. To understand and realize that whatever happens is from God. And if we have a plan, we should say, Im yirtze Hashem, Be'ezrat Hashem. And then, Be'ezrat Hashem, it will work. Like you see, my son had these beautiful plans for the evening. Unfortunately, how we say, Mensch denkt und Gott lenkt. But he thought, he got this beautiful evening. Unfortunately, What happened is he lost the keys. Baruch Hashem, there was a good ending to it, but sometimes, you know, it can happen in different ways. It's like once I went to to Jerusalem, I don't know what it was, what occasion it was, and when I came back, I put the Waze in order to find the shortest way. And I find myself in the middle of the night, nowhere. And then I found out that it's not connected. So if you're not connected, if you're not connected to God, that's it. You have to be connected to God. Al pi Hashem yachanu, ve al pi Hashem yisau. It's a big, big lesson for us to understand and to live to it.
No, they had cattle. What about all the cattle? With all the animals together.
Do you know? Well, this is also one of the things that they complain about meat. But they had so much cattle, and they say when they came into Israel that Am Israel had a lot of cattle. So what are the complaints? And see, also what you're saying now is also another proof that the complaint was not about meat, but it was about something else. And the point is, when we talk about going in the way of God, we have to understand there is a famous the first perek of Tehillim is very interesting. It says, "Vaya ke'et shatul al pal geimayim asher piryo iten beito va'aleu lo yibol." You should be like a tree that is planted on water. But it says pal geimayim, not one river, but a lot of river. And how can one tree be on a lot of rivers? The idea is that we're talking here about, of course, something spiritual. We have to understand what David HaMelech is trying to tell us is a very interesting thing. The Gemara says, if somebody learns his Torah from one rabbi, it's not going to stand. And it connects to what we say before about giving the right tools. You know, if you want to be a parrot and say exactly what your rabbi is saying, you didn't do anything. That's not the idea. Of course, it doesn't mean that you choose a rabbi each time you want to get another answer. Okay? Yeah, we have to make sure. It's like, I don't know if I told you this, it's also, you know, I was sitting in a wedding and somebody was telling me about this special, how do you say, what you got in the phone, how do you call your those things? This, no.
No, she understands.
No, all those programs, how do you call them?
Applications.
All the applications, all the apps. It says you've got the apps, you say the answer you want, and it gives you the right rabbi. In other words, you have a problem, you just ask, it says, but you say, I want to do this. For example, I was in a wedding, I ate meat before. And I come to this wedding, it's halavi. Says, who would imagine to say that somebody's going to do a wedding halavi? And they had, wow, what things. Then I was not on diet, and they had those cakes there, and unbelievable food. I don't know what to do. What do I do? It was only an hour. So this guy's telling me, God took this app, and you say what you want. So you go into it, it says, I had meat, I want to eat milk. Gives me an answer. Yeah, no problem.
Dutch.
Look for a Dutch guy. Wedding, and ask him to sit near you. And even if he doesn't want to sit near you, you can. If is there a Dutch there, so you can do like the Dutch. They wait only 1 hour, and sometimes, you know, it's a joke. But unfortunately, people sometimes do this. We ask. Sometimes somebody came and asked me. I says, you know what? Don't ask me. Because I know exactly what you want to hear. So you're better off ask somebody else. Because you see, when you ask a rabbi and he gives you an answer, you have to do what he says.
Definitely.
Now, that's the first thing. The other thing is, you have to choose a rabbi in order to halacha, you have to choose a rabbi. This rabbi is going to tell me what is the halacha. You know, if here and there you change, okay. But definitely you cannot just choose a rabbi according to what you want the answer to be.
It's crazy.
Doesn't work like this. For the other side, of course, for the other side, what is really David HaMelech telling us? What is the idea of Ba'alot Chayit HaNerot? The idea is that when you learn the way of learning, you should take a few rabbis. My son learned in up north in a place, Karmei Yosef, I think, I don't know remember what it was, Mechina for the army. And it was a very, in the beginning I was very angry. Why was I angry? Because you phone him at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you hear that he just woke up. It says, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm sending him to yeshiva to learn. 10 o'clock in the morning, he's sleeping. What's going on here? You know, again and again, and I understand this place, I don't like this. What's going on there? You're sending your kid, and he's doing whatever he wants to. So, we had yeshiva of the parents, and they came, and they explained us the way they work, and they told us that they'd give freedom to the kids to choose what to do. So I said, I'm sorry, no. If you give freedom to the kids, you know, not everybody can take the freedom in the right way. You know, there are children that what they do is, you give them freedom, okay. You won't see them in the class, you won't see them davening, you won't see them knowing nothing. They just have a holiday there. They have living in a hotel, doing whatever they want to. And then he explained to me, and he says, don't worry about this, because we are not stupid. We're giving them, let's say, the freedom to a certain level. Now, if we see somebody that for half a year, the guy is not coming to daven, is not coming to the class, so we tell him, you know, this is not hotel. If this is the way you feel, that you're in the wrong place, go to somewhere else, because here we're supposed to do something. And if you think that this place is a holiday place, go on holiday, not here. In other words, the free, and I must say that the system worked, because the idea was very simple. They wanted the children to come to the truth by themselves, not forcing them. And from other side, I've got my daughter-in-law, that she learned in Beit Yaakov Shul, and she throw everything. She she's not only not Haredi today, she's almost on the other side. And the reason is because when they came to school, they checked the length of the skirt and the thickness of the socks,
stocking.
Of the stocking, and. You know, is this what is important?
Yeah.
No.
So if she thought this is what important, I don't want to be a part of it. So they throw everything away. And that's the key thing. If you force the children to learn and to do things instead of giving them the right tools. In other words, it was a beautiful place. And they had, what I loved about the place is, they had a Hasidic rabbi, like ultra-Orthodox rabbi, and a guy that like, the whole thing is Gemara, in the deepness of it. The other one, it was very spiritual. In other words, they got so many different
point of views
that today my son is really in it in his own way. Like he took from this something, from the other one something, and he found his own way. And by the way, he also, today I must say, he davens every morning. He's sometimes more strict than me. And this is all because, of course, he got the tools also at home. I'm not saying now. We must not forget our part. But at the end of the day, when you send your kid to a very strict place, you can ruin your own education. Because, for example, when as a kid, didn't love my school, my shul. It was a yekke shul. Everything was... I didn't like it. And I really hated to go to daven. I used to come I was the last one. Everybody goes the same time. So it doesn't matter when you come. All go in the same time. So today, Baruch Hashem, it changed. But I'm saying that this is a mistake of those who educated me. This is the mistake of the rabbis, of the teachers. And there in that place, I found out there is another way. Of course, as I said, it's not for everybody. As sometimes he also admitted, you know, some of them, we lose them, and then we send them away. It's nothing to do, but the majority find their own way, and then we have somebody whose the religion is a part of it. It's not something that somebody forced him into. Then he can work al pi Hashem yachanu ve al pi Hashem yisau. This is the idea, because otherwise you're missing the point. Then we go on in the parsha. And here we learn a big lesson about what is a leader in Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling God, "Vayomer Moshe al Hashem, למה הראות על העם הזה? Why did you do bad to these people? ולמה לא מצאתי? Why I don't find find nice man in your eyes? לשום את מסע כל, you put on me all this burden of this nation. האנוכי הריתי את העם הזה? I gave them birth? האם אנוכי ילדתי? I am their mother? Well, what do you want? Did I'm not their mother, I'm not their father. What do you want from me? And the interesting is, he's using two phrases. האנוכי הריתי, which is pregnancy. האנוכי הלדתי, or I give birth. And really, what is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to tell God? Moshe Rabbeinu is telling God, you know, from one side, a rabbi who teaches his students Torah, he is like their father. And it's that's halachically, it's written. Kol mishem lamdo Torah, hu bno. But it's like your son. So his complaint is not true. They are your children. Because you taught them Torah, so they are the children. He says, yes, you're right, God. They are my children, but they are not my biological children. They are children by spirit or thing, and that's not enough. You know, because a love between parents to the children, when it's a biological thing, is much stronger than just if I adopted somebody and I'm helping him in life. That's so you cannot ask me to be like a biological parent. That's what he's saying. Did I give birth to them? Was I pregnant with them? No. They are your children. What is he really saying? It's telling God, why are you punishing them? You promised them to take them to Eretz Yisrael. You promised them. Now you want to punish them? I am not I didn't give birth to them. And I is giving a clue to God. Said, you promised. You brought us to this world. You told Am Yisrael that you're going to take them. Not me. You cannot come and complain to me. And the beautiful thing is here, so 1 minute. So is Moshe Rabbeinu really complaining about he doesn't want his job anymore?
No.
He says, well, I give them birth. I guess it sounds like this parent that says, you know, I had enough. Take them. Anochi ariti, anochi aladati. But what Moshe Rabbeinu is really telling, it's what's the punchline. He says, I didn't give birth to them. You did. You are the creator. You brought them to this world and you promised them. So you cannot expect me to change them because you are the one who is really in charge at the end of the day. It's beautiful how he puts it down. By the way, here we learn what is a leader in Am Yisrael. Because if he says, did I give birth to them? Was I pregnant with them? What does it mean? That's the way he acts with them. Because he says, I am acting like the father and the mother. Like you said, you have families, unfortunately, one of the spouses dies, so the other spouse stays, and he says, I am ore boded. I am chadorit. I am a family with one parent. So I have got the job of the mother and the father. And I'm doing it, but I'm asking you, is this my obligation? Is this my duty? It's your duty. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us a leader in Am Yisrael has to feel that each one of us is his own child. Not only psychology, not only spiritually, but really biologically. And this is a leader. This is where, when they talk about a leader in Am Yisrael, the Gemara is talking about this. What is the level of a leader? We can talk about it. We can show it to our leader. It will help us a lot. But this is the ideal leader. And this is the beauty of Moshe Rabbeinu. This great guy who talks with God whenever he wants to. And from one side, like he talks to God, like it doesn't sound so good. What are you are going against God? But the whole idea is he is a leader that loves the people. He loves us so much that he is willing to do whatever it is, even if it doesn't look so good in the eyes of God. But God knows who he deals with. God knows that everything comes from his heart. And this is why God loves him so much. And this is, by the way, when on a wedding, and we can talk about this a lot in a long time, on a wedding you say, Kedat Moshe veYisrael. I think I told you once. Why do we say Kedat Moshe veYisrael? What is the idea? Moshe and Am Yisrael. What does it have to do with a wedding? We're talking about relationship. We're talking about going, building a Jewish home. It says, Bait Ne'eman B'Yisrael, Kedat Hashem. Kedat Israel. What's Kedat? Moshe ve Israel. Because we want to tell the young couple, Moshe and Am Yisrael, what was the nature of their relationship?
Very good.
Very good from one side, from the other side?
Very bad.
Very bad, because they complained the whole time. And there is a lot of arguments. But at the end of the day, they are together. It says that's what we wish for the Chatan and Kala, for the young couple. You should live like Moshe and Israel. Because we all know, two people that love each other, they have arguments. But look at the arguments of Moshe with Am Yisrael. He loved them so much, and Am Yisrael loved him back. So this is why you have those arguments, but at the end of the day, Moshe ve Israel. And this is what we wish for the young couple. Even if you have arguments, you'll have argument, but you will deal with it the way as Moshe dealt with Am Yisrael. And this is the good way to start life. To understand and realize, sometimes we won't agree. And it doesn't matter who is right or who is wrong. The idea is, if everything comes from love, we should behave like Moshe and Am Yisrael. So our parsha is really a beautiful parsha about, from one side, how to educate our kids, how to educate ourselves, how to understand and realize that we have to build our own world with our own tools according to what Hashem wants for us. I'll be Hashem. But in order to do this, it's not wrong to learn from a few rabbis. It's not wrong to learn from your sources, as long as those sources are connected to God. But halachically, if you need an answer, you cannot choose whoever you want. You have to choose one rabbi that is going to tell you what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. And if we understand this and realize this, then Ba'alot Chatanerot, we have our candles lighting up and raising up. Again, like this morning I said, I saw a beautiful thing. He's talking about that this rabbi is saying, I'm going to teach my son Torah and not other stuff. Why? Not in the matter of like, don't do any job. Like in the matter of Torah is a powerful spiritual thing. In other words, if the whole what you're teaching your kids is only the physical side, the materialistic side, when they get older, what would they do with this? When you're old and you cannot do anything, and a lot of things you could do, you cannot do today, what's left for you? The spiritual side. In other words, if you make your children go on the spiritual side, which we can see today, also today, I'm sure that you're surrounded with people that are more spiritual and less spiritual. At the general point of view, I believe those with a spiritual point of view live much better than those with the only thing they've got is another desire, another thing. And that's another lesson that we learn. We should stick to God and understand and realize the power that we have in the spiritual power. Because spiritual power, you don't lose. You only gain. It gets stronger and stronger, even at the eldest age. I knew somebody, 103. And you know, when you looked at him, he looked like 70. And he was, he was a Talmid Chacham. He was so full of life. Unbelievable. And I don't have to, Rav Eliashiv. I don't know if you saw him once. If you saw him, I saw him, he was the Sandak of my brother's grandson. And he was already, I think, around 100, I don't know what. And you know, I couldn't believe, is this guy over 100? No, cannot be. And that's the Torah, the power of the Torah. If we go Al Pi Hashem, that's the power we get.